Yeah. Oh, I don't know. What can you say, really? But the thing is this, that there are a lot of people who are willing to put up with the model and not the real thing. Okay? And that's in our Christian lives. We're ready to put up with second best instead of life. And that's what Jesus gives us, life. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday, okay? And amazingly, all over this country, people were celebrating Easter. People who would never darken the doors of a church were celebrating Easter. Elaine and I were going to have Emily and Steve and the grandchildren join us for dinner. And we went into Sainsbury's. And they've arranged it so that you can buy food cheaply. But sack, a whole bag of potatoes for 15p. And all getting ready to encourage you for your Easter meal, right? And Lidl, they had an aisle at Rose Hill. They had this aisle just full of Easter things, you know. But that Monday, yeah, it's bank holiday Monday, but Tuesday, it's all gone. Easter is over. I just went out and bought an egg. And I got it half price. Exactly. I love that. Yeah. But doesn't it say everything? Because, like, Easter's over. It's finished. What's Easter got to do with me? And I just want to go back now 2,000 years. 2,000 years, and it's just coming up to the morning. It's still dark, and these ladies, probably with tears in their eyes, are getting a whole load of spices ready because they're going to make a visit to a tomb where the person has been laid who they love so much, Jesus of Nazareth. And they'd listened to Jesus for a long, long time. And then they saw him crucified on a cross. Strange, isn't it? Do you know you can buy hot cross buns at any time of the year now? Doesn't mean anything anymore. It used to be that they were bought for Good Friday as a way of remembering, but now it doesn't matter. So what does that cross mean to you? Tony Jim has been having some real feelings about this recently. What does the cross mean to you? We sang about it. We sang about it, didn't we? What does the cross mean to you? And these women, to these women, at that moment, it meant intense sorrow. They were getting ready to do something at the grave of the person they loved. And so they go out into the early morning. And while they're going out in the early morning, there's a whole load of guys in an upper room who have locked the doors because they're afraid of what might happen. Because Jesus, their leader, had been crucified. Therefore, maybe the people who crucified him will come for us, they're thinking. And they're also feeling all over the place. Meanwhile, two guys have set out from Jerusalem to walk to a place 7 miles away called Emmaus. And they're wandering along and they're talking and they're chatting about stuff and they're saying, you know, Jesus, we had hoped that he was the one, that he was the Messiah, but he's dead, he's crucified. The women arrive at in the garden where the tomb is. And when they get there, at first they're worried. They're saying, how are we going to, there's a big stone in front of it. How are we going to move this stone? They get there, the stone's been moved away already. And they look in, and the grave is empty. Apart from these grave clothes that are just lying there, not all over the place, as if someone had unwound it from themselves, but just lying there, as though the person in it had just out of it. They want to know what's happened to him. And so they run off to tell the disciples who are hiding in this upper room. They run off to tell them. But Mary Magdalene stays behind. And she stays behind. She sees someone in the garden she thinks is the gardener. And she goes up to him and what's happened to Jesus? And then the gardener says one thing. And this is what Jesus says to each one of us and means so much to us. He says her name. He says, Mary. And she knows who it is. It's Jesus. She tries to grab hold of him at first, but he says, no, just don't hold on to me. She's got things to do. Meanwhile, Peter is belting over. He's been told by the women that the grave is empty. And we don't exactly know what happens, but we know that in some way he sees Jesus as he's coming. And then Jesus goes, and he meets those two men who are walking on the road to Emmaus. And he walks alongside them. They don't recognize him, first of all. And he talks to them all about what God had promised in the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. And he tells them that this was how it was meant to be. And then they say, well, we want to hear some more about this. Can we just come and have breakfast with us? So he goes in and he breaks bread. And as soon as he does that, they know it's Jesus. And then he's gone. And they go running all the way back to where the disciples are, up in that upper room. And they belt in, and I can imagine what it's like. Because by now, it's chaos. Because Peter is there, and he's saying, yeah, they're right. And the women are there, and they're talking about it. And all those, the guys who are there, there would have been, 10 other guys and Peter. No, sorry, 9 other guys and Peter, because one was not there. Thomas had gone wandering off somewhere. Who knows where? But he wasn't there. And so in the middle of all this, and I want you to imagine, it must be chaos. These two guys burst in. They say, we have just seen Jesus. We've seen Jesus. And they say, yeah, look, Peter's seen him as well. And the women. And they start, it would have been mad. It would have been like this place when everyone's chatting and talking and moving around. It would have been something else. And then, at that moment, in all that chaos and everyone yelling, Jesus appears. I wonder what it was like. I wonder what they felt like. I wonder what it meant to them. Jesus was there. And he shows them the wounds in his hands and everything else, because this is almost like disbelief, I think. They're wondering what on earth has happened. And then he's gone. You see, the thing is, with us, we've got Bibles, all right? We've read or looked at the New Testament. We know what the cross is about. We know what the resurrection means. But these guys, it was all new. They didn't know what was going on. We tend to go in our teachings from the resurrection, sort of skipping to the kind of ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit. But there were 40 days where these guys are trying to work it all out. What does the cross mean to them? What does the resurrection mean to them? And the question this morning to you and to me is, what does the cross mean to you? What does the resurrection really mean to you? We've got books and stuff that explain things to us. But to those guys, what's just happened? So, They stay in Jerusalem at first. And then a week later, while they're still in that upper room, Jesus appears again. And this time, Thomas is there. Now, when they all told Thomas about it, Thomas said, "Oh, give over. What do you mean Jesus is alive? We know he died. He was buried. No, I won't believe it until I see the marks in his hands. I see that mark in his side where he had the spear put in. The marks in his feet. I won't believe it until I see that." And so, first person I think Jesus looks at is Thomas. Oh, can you imagine what it would have been like? Thomas looks at him, there's Jesus there. And Jesus comes over and he says, "Wait, there we are. You can touch that." Thomas doesn't need to. Thomas falls down and he says this, "And never call doubting Thomas, doubting Thomas." I think that is the most ridiculous thing ever. Because this guy, Elaine's into this as well, she was saying to me about it. This guy says this. He says, "My Lord and my God." No one else has said that apart from Peter. You see, the thing about Thomas is he takes a bit of convincing, but once you've got him, you have got him. He knew who his Lord was and who his God was. Don't knock Thomas. And then afterwards, they go off to Galilee. You see, you got to realize that they're confused. They're not sure what's going on. Jesus has said, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. On the mountain in Galilee. He's told it through the women. And so they go off and they're in Galilee and they go to the mountain and Jesus meets them there. And it says this incredible thing. And I've got to admit, not being one of these, Baptist college people like Jamie, I obviously missed out on this. But this is what it says in Matthew 28, verse 17. This is on the mountain. "When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Is that amazing? Have you ever noticed that before? Tom Wright, a writer that I really like, he uses the word hesitated. Some hesitated. These were Jewish people who were used to the idea of one God, and they hadn't quite all got it yet. They hadn't quite got it. They didn't really know what the cross and the rising again really meant for them. It took a while. The Holy Spirit hadn't come. When he came, he was going to lead them into all truth, it says. But during that period, they were trying to get their heads round it. And so Jesus, on that mountain, gives them the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples and baptize people. And then, after that, it seems, they're still not sure what they're doing. And so Peter, being Peter, says, "I'll tell you what, let's go fishing." They're by Galilee. That's what they do. There, a number of them are fishermen. I wonder if they took Matthew, the tax collector, put him in the boat. Can you imagine? Trying to get in. How'd you get in? Simon the Zealot. Just nothing to it. You know, jumps in, probably, and falls off the other side. You know, I can see it. You know, they're just trying to come to terms with everything that's happening around them. I don't think we always treat things real enough, but this is real, isn't it? This is what was going on in their heads. They're thinking, Jesus is alive. What's this about? We saw him crucified. We saw him killed. And they start remembering some of the stuff that he told them. This is real. This is not Easter Sunday with Easter eggs. This is life, the real thing. And so they can't catch fish at first. Probably, I went fishing recently with Jim. I caught a fish that was that big. Seriously, weren't that big. All right. I exaggerate. Yeah. They didn't catch anything. And then someone on the shore says, put your net over there. And I think they had an idea, because this has happened before. So they put the net over, and it fills up with fish. And Peter's looking, and he's not always the sharpest, but he gets there, and he says, it's Jesus. And what does Peter do? Well, of course he does. He just jumps out of the boat and flops all the way. All the others just pull the boat in, of course. But no, he runs and he goes there. And he meets up with Jesus. And we all need that meet up with Jesus, don't we? The living Jesus. Because Jesus is alive. It's real. And so they talk. And during that time, you remember that Peter had denied Jesus three times. I'm not going to labor this bit, but Jesus gives him three chances to make up for it. And he says, do you love me, Peter? He says, yeah, I do. He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, he says. Three times Jesus asks him if he loves him, and each time Peter says, yeah. And then we next kind of hear what happens is they're back in Jerusalem, and Jesus meets various other people, but I'm concentrating a bit on the disciples at the moment. And then they end up on the Mount of Olives. Jesus leads them through Bethany, it says, to Mount of Olives, and there he ascends and he goes to his heavenly Father. And then we know that later on, and he gives them a message. He says, stay in Jerusalem until God's power is going to come on you, the Holy Spirit is going to come on you. I just told that kind of narrative because for those 40 days, those guys were asking the same question. What is going on? What does this mean? And each one of us has to be honest and ask ourselves, what does the cross mean to me? What does Jesus being alive mean to me? This is not a game. The Christian faith is not a good idea, just a good idea. It's not a wellness fix. It's not one of those how to sort your life out manuals, you know? It's life itself. And there's a verse that I just want to share. There's a couple of verses. I'm not going to labor too much on them. One is the first verse I ever learned off by heart. And I want this to go to your hearts. And I know this is meant by God, because this morning I wanted to look something up on Bible Gateway. You know that app, Bible Gateway? So I thought I'd look up. Saved me sort of going all the way through the Bible, which happened to be downstairs at the time. So I look it up. And it has a verse of the day. And the verse of the day is the main verse that I wanted to talk about today. So I think, you know, I think God's got something going there. This is the verse. I have been crucified with Christ. This is Paul. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. That's what Paul said. When Jesus died on that cross, I died with him. My sins were taken away. All the bad stuff that I'd ever done, am doing, will do, was there on the cross. Jamie talked a bit about that this morning, mentioned. So all that rubbish he took on himself on the cross. But we have to be able to say, I have been crucified with Christ. It's not just, it's every one of us being able to say, I have been crucified with Christ, and realize that it's Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, we've been crucified with Christ, but not only that, we've been raised with Christ as well. Says this in Ephesians, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. When Jesus came to life again, he gave us life. He brought life with it. You know, the cross deals with the old stuff and the bad stuff. The resurrection gives us the new stuff that we can live in. It's all about being alive in him. The disciples had to begin to get to grips with this, and they knew it. You know, once that Holy Spirit had come, Peter, who was pretty messed up a lot of the time, never quite sure what he was doing. I tell you what, after the Holy Spirit had come and brought to him the truth about what the cross and what the resurrection meant, that guy went out and he preached, and his main message was this: Jesus is alive. The one who you crucified, God raised from the dead. And do you know what? After a while, they shoved him in prison and they threatened him and did this, that, and the other. Do you know what he did? As soon as they let him off, he went out and he preached the same thing again. The old Peter wouldn't have done that. But this Peter was alive in Christ. This person knew Jesus was alive and that he was living with him. You said about Jesus being beside us. And that's it. Jesus beside us, in us, around us, everywhere. Jesus is alive. Romans says this: for if we've been united with him in a death like his, that's being crucified with Christ, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And later on he says, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And Colossians talks about being raised with Christ. Paul was dead certain about this. Jesus is alive, and he's alive, and we are alive in him. Baptism's a picture of this. Do I have thrown a plug for baptism here? Yeah, I thought that'd go down well with you, Jamie. Yeah, baptism is a picture of this. Total immersion. Now, Jamie's a Baptist, as you know, he went to a Baptist college. I believe what they say there is, you baptize in your way, and we'll baptize in his way. Is that what they say? Listen, when I was there. Well, that's shocking. Dave, Judith, come back. Right, okay. Yeah, baptism, total immersion baptism, that demonstrates everything that should be true in your life, because you go down into the death of Jesus. Picture, as you go under, you're going into the death of Jesus, and you come up as if you're being raised to life with Jesus, in and out. I'm going to read that verse again, and I'm not going to labor this. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Isn't that great? You might think, I mean, someone said, oh, you kind of like speaking up the front or something like that, he said to me. And they said some nice things. And I said to him, I'm scared when I come up here. I really get the wobbles. I never know quite what I'm meant to say. I believe I've got a message from Jesus. I really do believe that this is the message today. But if I don't come up with him, I might as well stay at home. Because that's what matters. If he doesn't speak, it's pointless. And I ask you to open your hearts as well. Because you can come to church, but you don't want to be one of these Easter egg people. You know, just not the real thing. Models of Alcatraz rather than the real thing, which is where I hope Dave is now. Yeah, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. He loved me. Before he even did it, he loved me. Isn't that cool? Who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to pray. Father God, oh Father God, help us each one to know what the death and rising again of your Son means to each one of us. Lord, drive it into our hearts. If anyone here is unable to say, I have been crucified with Christ, I pray this morning you will help them move towards that. Father God, I pray that if anyone here is feeling down and unsure of things, help them remember that your Son died for them and loved them, and that's why he died for them. Father God, I pray that anyone here is looking for something just to get them through the week. Father God, may they know that they can have life in you, real life, not pretend life, the best life, the life that you planned through Jesus, because we are raised with him. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Bob.